As Democratic lawmakers and Governor Andrew Cuomo negotiated the final details of the state budget at the end of March and into April, public employees around the state were waiting for word on whether language creating an early retirement incentive for municipal employees and teachers would make it into the final deal. Ultimately, the language did make it, in part KKK of the big, ugly budget bill, although the pool of eligible workers was smaller than what some had hoped. To break down this policy, we're joined now by Senator Andrew Gunardis, a Brooklyn Democrat who chairs the Chamber's Committee on Civil Service and Pension. Welcome to the show, Senator, and belated congrats on the birth of your son.
Thank you very much, David. Thanks. Great to be here with you.
So broadly speaking, what is an early retirement incentive, and why are they sometimes an attractive option for municipalities and school districts at a time of fiscal stress?
So an early retirement incentive is basically a way for local or state government to be able to take its workforce and without having to go through layoffs as a cost-saving measure, provide a mechanism that more seasoned, higher paid employees, folks who are almost at the end of their careers, whether it's 25 years, 30 years, et cetera, to allow them to retire early without any financial penalty to their pensions, as a way to kind of shift some of those payroll costs off of the current financial obligations that these local governments have. And it's an attractive option for governments at different levels whenever there is a financial crisis because, just like any other job, the longer you're in a position and you kind of build up seniority and you build up years and you build up service levels, you earn more income, you have a higher salary level, and those things are added costs. And so, as an alternative to having to lay people off during a budget crunch, we can shift some of the higher salaried employees into retirement and be able to make room for newer employees, younger employees, employees who are not yet at that level yet, to avoid having to fire people.
I guess at its most basic levels, is this a fair description of what might happen? Somebody might need 30 years in the job to collect their pension, but say they have 28 years and they're making, $100,000 a year. You essentially let them retire and sort of credit them for those remaining 2 years, and you can essentially bring in someone to replace them who might make, substantially less than $100,000. Thus, that's how you find your savings?
Correct. So in some cases, the local government will hire a replacement. In some cases, they won't. It really depends on the particular staffing needs that each government has. And it could be government-wide. It could be agency by agency. It could be by specific job title. It really depends. And so the way that we structured the early retirement incentive that we included in this year's budget, it gives, in this case, the city of New York and the mayor flexibility to make those determinations.
Yeah. So in terms of the eligible workforce that's described in this budget bill, are we talking about then just, city employees, or are there, for example, school teachers in New York City that are available to take advantage of this as well? Or do they all sort of fall under that umbrella of New York City because of the way the school system's structured?
So the provisions as they were enacted in the budget applies to members of the New York City Employees Retirement Systems, NYSERS, the New York City Teachers Retirement System, and the Board of Education Retirement System. New York City has 5 retirement systems. This applies to 3 out of the 5 boards. It doesn't include uniformed city employees like fire, police, corrections, or sanitation because they belong to different retirement systems and they have different pension plans that allow them to retire either 20 or 25 years, whereas the New York City employees or New York City teachers typically have a minimum of 25 to 30-year retirement plan. So it only applies to those members and only in New York City. We tried in the Senate's One House bill this year, we tried to enact a statewide early retirement incentive for different governments across the state. But unfortunately, during the course of negotiations, we could not get the governor to agree to that position. But we were able to help provide this tool and this mechanism specifically to New York City.
Was the Assembly Democratic Conference on board with a statewide proposal as well, or did they support the more narrow New York City language?
I don't believe that they included it in their One Health budget, but I don't think that there was any significant opposition during the negotiations. I think it really came down to an issue of negotiating with the governor's office and seeing whether or not they wanted this tool to be available to themselves to use either for their own state employees or for other local governments. And I think the real distinguishing factor here, which, you know, the imperative that we had to act on behalf of New York City, was that New York City still faced some significant budget crunch, even with the infusion of federal dollars through the most recent stimulus packages. Labor unions last fall, representing the bulk of the workers eligible, had to give up about $1 billion in labor savings. The potential for an ERI was wrapped up in that $1 billion of savings, and there was still layoffs on the table beyond this current fiscal year that New York City was contemplating. So there was a very strong imperative to avert those layoffs in New York City as much as possible.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about an early retirement incentive for New York City employees that was included in the last minute in the state budget. And our guest is Senate Civil Service and Pensions Committee Chair Andrew Gonardis. Do you have any sense of how many employees might end up taking advantage of this? And what's sort of the window that the budget lays out for when employees can utilize this benefit?
So we don't know exactly how many employees will take advantage of this because, you know, what we did was we granted authorization to the city of New York to implement this plan. And in that authorization, we basically gave the city two options. They could either determine on an agency by agency basis and a job title by job title basis who would or would not be eligible. So if there are certain job titles where they're trying to shed some costs, some personnel costs, they could focus the ERI in a very targeted way to those individuals. Or the city could also choose to say that anyone who meets a certain minimum standard of 55 years or older with at least 25 years of service could be eligible for early retirement without suffering an early retirement penalty. So it really depends on which direction the city is going to take. They could choose to implement both, or one or the other, make very specific decisions. And so until we have those answers by the city, it really is difficult for us to say exactly how many people will be eligible and how many people will take advantage of that.
And what about that window for applying? Because of this is in response to the, you know, current and recent fiscal stress, is there a limited window for when people can apply?
Yeah, so the window exists from this summer through the early part of next fall. So that'll be about a 3 or 4 month window by which employees, if they are deemed eligible by the mayor and the city council, would then be allowed to apply for the early retirement package.
Municipal pension plans can be very lucrative and as a result can be very costly for governments. So are you going to be doing any sort of monitoring of the net effect of this once it's fully implemented to ensure that municipal governments are finding savings and not potentially adding to their costs?
So every time we do a pension bill like this, we do get an analysis by the actuaries, whether it's the city or the state, to kind of give us a ballpark figure as to what the potential financial impact would be. In this case, it's harder to calculate because we don't have that defined universe of individuals who are A, will be eligible, or B, will actually apply for it. But there is constantly an evaluation. You know, the boards of trustees of each of the funds have to do a constant evaluation of what their financial outlook looks like. The actuary does a continual analysis of what the funding levels of the pension funds are, as well as the comptroller's office. So we're always looking at the numbers, and we're very fortunate to live in both a city and a state that has very well-funded pension plans. So unlike other states you read about sometimes in the news about drastically underfunding their pension plans, New York City and New York State are really, really well funded. And so the concern about cost, while important, is not like a dire one that we can't afford to engage in the early retirement package or offer the early retirement package.
Do you think it makes sense for municipalities or school districts who might be interested in an early retirement incentive, say in the future, to have to come to the state to get permission to offer it? Do you think there should be just more flexibility built into the law so that they can make the choices that they think are right for them?
Well, you know, all of the retirement law that we have here in the state comes from state law. I mean, there is a whole section of state law just on retirement law and pension law. So I think it's important that we have uniformity and consistency with how the laws apply to everyone and, you know, kind of how they're interpreted, how they're implemented. And so I don't think you want to have one set of rules for one small town and another set of pension rules for another town. I mean, you know, it's really having some consistency and some uniformity. Especially the lower you go in terms of the size of local government, the more important that uniformity is.
If senior employees who take advantage of this aren't replaced, are you concerned at all about a drop in services?
Certainly, you know, we don't want to see a drop in services. And, you know, unfortunately, what we have seen, certainly at the state level, not so much the city level, has been the unwillingness of state agencies to backfill positions. And so they have lost a significant number of positions over a longer period of time without filling on a one-to-one match those positions. And so always concerned about that. In this particular case, because the ERI does not apply to New York State, I'm not concerned about exacerbating that trend. But I think there is a larger concern in the state-level workforce about having one person do the job that was previously done by four or five people. You know, most civil service jobs, and you know, we hear about this every single year when we do the budget hearing, most civil service jobs, especially at the state, you're not making a hefty six figures. You know, we're talking about $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 jobs, which is not a lot of money in the state of New York. It's, you know, it's right just north of what the median income here is in the state. And to have someone earning $60,000 do the work of four or five people, you really wouldn't tolerate that in the private sector, and we shouldn't settle for that in the public sector either. These are important services, they're important jobs, they're important responsibilities, and we should treat them as such by staffing these positions adequately.
Well, we've been speaking with State Senator Andrew Gnardis. He's a Brooklyn Democrat who chairs the Chamber's Committee on Civil Service and Pensions. Senator, thank you so much for walking us through this issue.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. Anytime.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.